I'd like to start by saying thank you to the brethren here at Norman, Oklahoma, for organizing this New Year's meeting. It's a real privilege for my family and I to visit here. We're foreigners in this country. We come from very small congregations. And it's a great privilege to be able to gather together and worship God and share with you. The singing has been absolutely fantastic, so uplifting, exhilarating. We've had some tremendous preaching. We've been really blessed today, and I'm thankful for that. I just have to share with you what I'm involved in at the moment. Gary mentioned the Lord's work in the world is spreading. I'm privileged to be able to work at the moment in Tanzania in East Africa. And that's one of those places that Gary was talking about. In our home countries, here in the US and Australia, where I come from, maybe, you know, we're having a hard time. People don't want to hear the gospel. But there are plenty of places where people do. And it's so wonderful that the Lord has enabled and my wife and I to live in Tanzania, where that is exactly what is happening. The church is growing. We're having many people come in obedience to God and being baptized for the forgiveness of sins. And so just remember that and thank the Lord for what he is doing. Now I have to tell you a little story here. And, you know, my son Jamie here, who's about to be married to the lovely Elizabeth Batty, will tell me that I tell stories on him all the time. And well, he may think this is on him, but it's really on me. One of the very first times that Jamie came here, it was just after he was baptized. On New Year's Eve, he was lined up and he decided he would like to lead a song. This surprised his mother and me because it was the first song he had ever led in the church. But he wanted to do that. And so we got the songbook. And one of the brothers was really nice. He came up and said, "Jamie, I'm going to preach this lesson. Could you lead this song for me?" So Jamie was confident about this. We practiced the song over and over again. The night came. We were sitting on the second row, I remember it. And he was excited, a little bit nervous. And then he just one more song before he had to get up. And the young brother got up and sang the very same song that Jamie had been asked to sing. He was devastated. Well, after the service, a brother came up, and you know, everyone kind of knew what was happening. And they said, "Well, Jamie, what are you going to do next time?" He said, "Next time I'll have a lesson." And I'm so proud of him that earlier in the week he got up and he taught as well. Well, the reason I say this, and it's not talking on him, is because the same thing's happened on me. Jerry came up and taught on the kingdom. And here am I going to talk on the kingdom. But, you know, the kingdom is big enough, and there's a lot to talk about. And so we're going to look at what we can understand about the kingdom and how it applies to us. I really appreciate the theme of this meeting. Behold your King. This is spoken in John the 19th chapter verse 14 by a godless man to disobedient people. Think about that for a minute. It's a lesson for us just there. You know, they were told he was their King, but they rejected him. They weren't looking for a king like Jesus. And you know, there are so many people today, both outside the church and in the church, who don't want a king like Jesus. Well, if we go into John the 18th chapter, we discover why Pilate said that Jesus was the king. And reading verses 36 and 37, we read, "Jesus answered, 'My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting, that I might not be delivered up to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm.' Pilate therefore said to him, 'So, you are a king?' Jesus answered, 'You say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to bear witness of the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice.'" Yes, we have a king, Jesus. Jesus the Christ. He is a king, and he has been given all authority. We need to understand what a king is. And the king has a kingdom, as Jerry shared with us. The Bible is so clear on that. He promised that the kingdom would be set up in the lifetime of the hearers in Mark 9 and verse 1. And Peter used the keys of the kingdom in Acts chapter 2. Prior to Acts chapter 2, we read of the kingdom promised. After Acts 2, we read of the kingdom established. We have a king, and we have a kingdom. We look over in Colossians, the first chapter, and we see that we are in the kingdom. He says there in verses 13 and 14, the Apostle Paul, that he delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Now there's a contrast there that we really need to pay attention to. Because we have been delivered from the domain of darkness and transferred into the kingdom. There are only two states that we can be in. We can either be in the domain of darkness, and I'm here to tell you that that is the world, or we can be in the kingdom. Why is it that some are in the kingdom but still want to live like they are in the world? Brethren, that is the domain of darkness. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this realm." We are not of this world. And we have to live as if we are not of this world. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 1, the apostle writes to the Christians there. And notice how he describes them. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who are chosen. And he goes on and continues on his letter there. But did you notice how he described them? To those who reside as aliens. Now, we know what that means. I know here in the United States, there's a big problem and a lot of debate about illegal aliens. I come and visit this country as an alien. I believe I can prove that I'm a legal alien, but this is not my home. And, you know, I think the Lord's kind of underlined this idea to me in my life just recently. We're currently residing in Tanzania, East Africa. We've given up our home in Australia. This isn't our home here. But we don't have any official status in Tanzania either. We are quite literally homeless people. That's kind of neat. The government hasn't recognized us, and that's okay. We're still able to do our work. But we really are aliens in a foreign land. Notice what we read in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, concerning Abraham. Starting in verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundation, whose architect and builder is God. Now, why do you think we have that in Hebrews, the 11th chapter? It's because we need to follow the example of Abraham. We are members of the kingdom. We have been delivered from the domain of darkness. We are to live as Abraham did, as aliens in a foreign land. Because we have that very same hope that Abraham had. We are looking for that city, that eternal home. But yet, so often, we are tempted to look at, well, this is where we're comfortable. This is our home. This is where we belong. But brethren, it's not. We need to live as aliens. You know, I've been privileged to travel here with my family on a number of occasions over many years. And that's allowed me to get like little snapshots of how things are going in the church over a period of years. And you know, it saddens me. I spend time with brethren, and I hear many people talking about the state of the nation. And you know how this great nation of the United States is going to pot. But you know, while I hear people talking about that, rarely do I hear people talking about the state of the church. People, we don't live in a country that is led by Christians. We don't live in a Christian country. We know the difference between those who profess Christ and those who are in the kingdom. Don't be too surprised if things don't follow the ways of the Bible. This is not our home. This is not the kingdom. Worry about the church rather than the state of the nation. I hear people talking about how their local team's going. And they spend a lot of time discussing that and the various merits of the certain sports stars doing this and that. Now, but I don't hear that many people talking about how their local congregation is going. You know, how brother such and such is doing, and the great lesson that this teacher is doing, and the great work that sister so-and-so is doing as she's helping those in need. I don't hear those conversations. I sure hear about sports teams. I hear people talking about hunting and fishing. What great sports, great recreations. But I don't hear people talking about saving souls. Where is our focus? Where is our home? Where are we looking to go to? All this will pass away. We know that up here. We are destined for heaven. We know that in our mind. We need to know it in our heart. And we need to show it in our actions. This world is not our home. We've got that old song we sing. I'm just a passing through. But we get so caught up in this world and the things of this life. You know, there are important things that we need to do. We need to have jobs. We need to support our families. We need to do those things. They're important things. But there are essential things. Martha, you know, when she was seeing her sister Mary, when she really should have been in the kitchen helping Martha, she's just sitting there at the Lord's feet, and she came to the Lord, and she said something quite amazing, I think. She told the Lord what he needed to do. So many people are like that today. Lord, tell her to help me. Can you remember what Jesus said? He said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things. Few things are necessary. Really only one. And Mary has chosen the good part. That's the choice that we need to make. We are worried and bothered about so many things. But few things are necessary. Really only one. Choose the good part. We may be citizens of the United States. We may be citizens of Australia or wherever. However, we need to be like Abraham. We too are called. We are a called people. Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive as an inheritance. Well, thank you.